Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, and thank you all for listening. This is Tim the Overseer, and welcome back to another spiritual week of Spiritual Sense Life, and also welcome back to another teaching of the Revelation series. Hopefully you all are doing well and being blessed, and most of all, hopefully you all are staying safe. Make sure that we are praying for everyone in this world, this day and time, especially those that are the household of faith, those of us who are believers, as well as the non-believers. We don't want to leave anyone out. Make sure that we're praying for people's salvation and deliverance, and make sure that we are practicing social distancing. We're praying for those that have been affected by this pandemic in the world, and how it's taken effect on people's lives, loved ones, health, finances, and just make sure that we are praying, okay? So again, this is Tim the Overseer. I just want the time out to welcome you and to also express gratitude. Actually, I didn't really forget that it was the 4th, but I guess just not really focusing on it being the 4th and having this message today. I know that a lot of people are traveling. A lot of people are at gatherings and having fun, social gatherings, and just, you know, being with family, friends, and loved ones. So make sure that you all are being careful and safe, and make sure that you all are just making good decisions, okay? So we're praying for you all. I had a member of mine had reached out to me. I reached out to her just to check on how she was doing, and she had mentioned that where she's located here in Texas, down in Houston, that they've actually shut it down. And so we're just praying for the world that things get better. I know that I've told you all, you know, I hate to acknowledge this. I just don't see it getting better. I think it's probably going to be going in the direction of being, you know, in a way that we don't want to be. The world won't be the same again. Of course, this too shall pass. This pandemic, whatever this is, will pass. But the world will never be the same. That's basically what I'm saying. But she was just acknowledging and just telling me on yesterday how they shut it down. Even here in Texas where I'm at, all over actually, they've actually shut it back down because of the pandemic. It just kind of got out of hand. So, you know, so just make sure that we're all doing what we're supposed to. I know that for me, I just got to the point where I'll just go and exercise. And I'll just come home. I don't even go to the stores anymore. I just actually just kind of shop online. I know it's not for everyone. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but just make sure that you're being careful. Most of all, that you're being prayerful, that you stay prayed up during this time. We know that the enemy is busy. That's just what the enemy does. So don't be discouraged. You know, Paul said, you know, that we should be encouraged and that we should have confidence because he loves us, and we do know that he's going to take care of us and lead us and guide us. The word says that the safest place to be in the whole wide world is in the will of God, our Heavenly Father, okay? So, again, I just want to take this time out to express gratitude to you all. I just want to say to each and every one of you that I am grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be able to bring a word to you. And I'm thankful that, you know, for you that's listening today, that's taking the time out of your busy schedule. You could be doing something else. I definitely understand. I'm grateful that you're here. I'm grateful for my life, my soul, health, and strength. Grateful for everything that the Most High has done for me in my life. Grateful for, I'm excited for the life ahead. I'm excited also for eternity. I'm grateful for that. So I'm thankful for life itself, and I'm thankful for you all. I just want to also say that I love each and every one of you with the spiritual agape love from my Heavenly Father, which comes from above. And again, I am glad that you're back for another daily bread sermon, okay, and more spiritual food for the soul, right? And so, again, hopefully you've all had a blessed day and an even better spiritual week. We're going to be praying that you have an even better spiritual week next week, right? And so, again, we'd like to also thank Derek Oliver and Chaos Talk Radio team for this platform, another way for us to get the message out, the message of salvation and love. That's our focus. That's my call in the ministry. It's salvation. It's to teach salvation. That's the only thing that I really focus on. Of course, I teach it from other parts of the Bible and other subjects, but I love salvation because why? It's the one thing that's going to get you into the kingdom of heaven, and it's the one thing that's going to bless you with the greatest gift to mankind, which is salvation, eternal life. It's the greatest gift that you can ever receive. I also enjoyed our show last night. Me and Big Tay Entertainment was back on the air last night, so it was a blessing to be back for our spiritual freestyle Fridays. I actually enjoyed it last night, so hopefully the ones that were listening enjoyed it also. So again, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into the word. It was funny because I just realized that I think I had mentioned either yesterday or last week that we're going to get into Revelation, the third chapter. And I had to look at my notes and had just realized that we didn't even finish Revelation, the second chapter. So I do apologize for that miscommunication. But we are actually in Revelation, the second chapter. We're dealing with the Church of Pergamos. Some may know it as the Church of Pergamum. And so we're going to get into that church and get some things I want to focus on. And I'm just going to focus a little bit on the church itself. I'm just going to take just one title and just stick with that. I'm going to definitely read the scriptures to you. We're going to do a little, traveling with the scriptures, but mainly I just want to focus on the church itself. And so, again, I'm just trying to make sure I'm kind of covering all my points. In fact, let me pray before I get started. That's when I knew it was something that was missing. There's always something that comes to you, like something just don't feel right, like I'm missing something. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Let's go ahead and read love real quick. I love to read the scriptures of love coming from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, and the entire chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. So let's go ahead and get started. With that being said, I can't think of anything else, so let's go ahead and get started. So it says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, it says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and all faith, I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abide it, faith, hope, charity, these three. But the grace of these is charity." Charity meaning love. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and to protect us from all hurt, harm, and dangers, from both dangers seen as well as unseen, Heavenly Father. And by your Spirit, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for guidance, dear Heavenly Father, that we may walk in the Spirit, dear Heavenly Father, that you may keep us from evil, dear Heavenly Father, and that you may keep us from the enemy. We bless and praise your holy name, dear Heavenly Father, and by your Spirit, we bring your word, dear Heavenly Father, and we pray that if all flesh be removed, that your Holy Spirit may minister and speak to your people, dear Heavenly Father. Bless me to decrease, and that the Spirit and you and your Son be lifted up and increased, dear Heavenly Father. We know that it is Christ that gives the increase, dear Heavenly Father. And again, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. Amen. So again, I just wanted to say it's good to be back. We'll definitely be back on the air next Friday night. Again, I think we're going to shift our focus instead of more of a political talk. It's probably more spiritual talk on Fridays. I even kind of considered doing some Bible study, but we'll see. We'll just let the Spirit lead us and guide us, okay? All right, so without further ado, let's go ahead and take a look at Revelation, the second chapter, and we stopped at verse 11 last week. We were dealing with the Church of Smyrna last week, and the Church of Smyrna was a church that Christ was had told John to write to the church of Smyrna, in which they was dealing with, we dealt with just people, just these different religions is what we were dealing with, that were, they were mixed, meaning that they was exercising the belief in Christ. And when I say the belief in Christ, not actually believing, but just using it as a front, but also exercising paganism. And paganism, we know, is a false doctrine. It's a false belief. And we see a lot of that today in today's world with all these different religions. And that's why I want to break down the seven churches to you so you can understand, so you'll know where we're at today and how to relate the seven churches that Christ had John to write to in ancient times, and basically reference those seven churches to the churches that we see in our time today. And you'll also, as we get into the Church of Pergamos, you'll see that also. You'll see another side of one of the churches, because in each one of these seven churches, they represent all the churches throughout the church age. Now, the church age spans back during the time of the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in and actually indwelled men. Okay, now the Holy Spirit indwells us. Before, in times past, in the Old Testament, the Old Testament says the Holy Spirit didn't indwell them. Okay, it led them. Okay, there's a difference. It led them. It didn't indwell in them. Okay, and so let me explain this to you. And I want to wait till now to explain this to you. And this will probably resonate and make a lot of sense to you all as believers, especially those of you who may study and read your word. Back in ancient times, the Old Testament time, remember, the Holy Spirit didn't indwell them, so they could be lost. In other words, it led them if they decide to keep the faith and stay with the word and stay with Yahweh, okay? But if they decide not to stay with the Spirit and stay with Yahweh, then they could be lost. But in our time, the church age time, that's what's so significant about and what's so special about the church age. A lot of people say, well, what's so special about the church age? Let me show you something. With the church age, Christ is going to come back and return and appear in the sky. Okay. Now, remember, Christ is going to come three times. The first time, he was born of the Virgin Mary. He actually set foot on the earth because he was born and he walked the earth. The second time, okay, which is not really his second coming, but is considered part of his second coming, okay? So in his second coming, he has an appearing, is which when he's going to appear in the sky, he's going to call the saints home out of the graves, and those of us who remain, if he was to come at this instant, we're going to be caught up first after those who were resurrected from the grave. Okay, but he's not going to touch the earth. He's just going to appear in the sky. Then the second time, which is called the second coming of Christ, okay, remember, within the second coming, the first time is just an appearing. The second time, he's going to come back to the earth, okay? And that's when he's going to resurrect the Old Testament saints, okay? And so you say, well, what's so special about us? We're the church age saints. Well, what's special about us is that now we're in the age of where the Holy Spirit actually indwells men. And that's why we preach and say that you cannot lose your salvation. Because why? Why can't you lose your salvation? Because the Holy Spirit indwells you. He is the keeper. That's why we call him the keeper, because he's on the inside of you. And when something is on the inside of you spiritually, that's from Yahweh, you cannot lose it. Because now we have become a part of our Heavenly Father. He is in us and we are in him. And when I say that we are in him, because we have fallen, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and that makes us a part of him because we follow him. We are also led by the Spirit, but it also indwells us. So I just want to share a scripture with you real quick. There's several scriptures, but of course, I'm just going to share some. I want to share this scripture with you. It's coming from 1 Corinthians real quick, and we're going to go ahead and get into Revelations. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. This context of Revelation, 1 Corinthians, the entire 12th chapter, deals with spiritual gifts. On the day of Pentecost, man was given a spiritual gift. That's why we say you cannot lose your salvation. Once saved, always saved. That's why we say that. There's so much proof in the word, and I pray that you all, hopefully now you're receptive to the word. If not, I pray for you that you do learn and get the word. I tell people, hey, read the word for yourself, and whatever conclusion that you come to, I'm fine with it. But I teach what the word says and what I know. Okay, so let's go ahead and read with 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter, verses. I'm gonna read verses 1, 2, 3 because I think it's significant to what I'm saying. Okay, but remember the entire 12th chapter deals with spiritual gifts that was given to us by who? By Christ. Okay. So it's important when you get the opportunity to read this chapter. It's a very, very good chapter. It's a beautiful chapter. So let's start. Verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. So we know that in order to receive spiritual gifts, one must receive salvation first. You can't just receive spiritual gifts just because you see someone's spiritual gifts, whether it's the gift of healing, whether it's the gifts of knowledge, the gift of ministry. There's just different gifts, the gifts of discerning of spirits, the gift of prophecy, whatever your gift spiritually is. And I tell people, I say, I believe my gift is the gift of the word of knowledge. That's my gift, is that I was given a gift to teach the word and to break down the word and to research the word and to give it to you. That is my spiritual gift. And I love it. I embrace it. And I'm grateful for it, because with my gift comes the teaching of salvation, meaning that I can give people eternal life. Now, if you remember last week when we talked about in our message, we talked about the different crowns that you're going to, the rewards that you're going to receive for saving souls. So guess what? I'm teaching you this so you can teach it to your family and teach it to your friends and loved ones, and also to your enemies, because we don't want no one to be lost. We love it. Each and every one of you, we love everyone. We don't want no one to be lost. So this is why we teach the word. Okay, you can also receive a crown for teaching people about salvation, right, and being saved and redeemed. So we don't want no one lost. Okay, so this is important to understand and to make sure that we're getting. Okay, so let's go ahead and move forward. Now, again, it says brethren, right? So again, when Paul says brethren, who is he talking to? We know that Paul is talking to the believers, those of us who have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior for salvation purposes. We know who Paul is referencing, who he is talking to. Okay? So remember, you want to receive that what? For winning souls, that crown of rejoicing. Okay? But now we're going to look at the spiritual gift. It says, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Okay? There's that word again. Now, last night I was on the air and I was saying over in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, I think it was like the first or the second verse when Paul said, it was verse 1 actually, he said that ye should be ignorant. And I said, man, that's a harsh word to tell someone, hey, don't be ignorant. But it's necessary. Why? Because Paul is dealing with a lot of what? Ignorance in the church. As I told you that I have also in times past dealt with what? Ignorance in church. Now, do understand, okay, because I love to clarify and I love the words and all you're getting an understanding. Do all things decent in order. So let me clean it up so that you may understand what I'm saying. There are people in church who desire to know the word. They have a zeal. They want to know the word. They're enthused. They're grateful to be there. They're grateful to have the Bible. In fact, when I used to teach in church, I used to love to see people with their pen and paper and taking notes. I used to love that. When I teach, preach, whatever, I love it. I love it. I love it. Because that person has a desire to want to learn and know the word. That's the whole person. And that's fine if you don't. Doesn't mean that you don't necessarily have a desire. But I feel like you have more of a desire when you do have paper and pen. Okay, that's just my thought, just my mentality, right? And so, again, doesn't mean anything less because you don't, because I don't necessarily bring paper and pen to church unless I am going to a particular study, okay? So we think about this and what Paul's words and what he is saying to us. He wants you to be knowledgeable. He drives this home. And you know what? And I say this to a lot of people. A lot of times I may sometimes repeat myself. That's on purpose. I remember one time when I used to preach at this church, my wife said, have you noticed that you say the same thing sometimes you repeat yourself? I said, yeah, I know I do. That's on purpose. That's by design. That's not because I don't have anything else to say or because I don't have anything else to teach. That's by design. The Holy Spirit leads me and guides me. The Holy Spirit wants me to say the same thing over and over. If you read the Gospels of Christ, you also begin to notice that what? Christ also said the same things over and over. If you read the apostles, the epistles from Paul, the letters from Paul, you also notice that what? Paul says the same thing over and over. Why do we say the same thing over and over? There's a message conveyed through the, from the Holy Spirit that we that emphasizes. In other words, when there's a purpose to repetition. The reason that you do things repetitiously is so that you can get it down, so that you have it, so that you may learn it. And that's why we drive it home. That's why I keep saying every week about salvation, how to become saved, because you never know if it's someone's first time hearing it or if some people just don't get it sometimes. And sometimes I'm even like that. I may not get it the first time. So sometimes it may take the third or fourth or even the fifth time just for the word to sink in of what's being said or what's meant. And so sometimes you're like, oh, that, you know, that light bulb will come on. And so that's the purpose and the reason for keep on saying it over and over. And so you see Paul here driving home, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be knowledgeable. I want you to know what the word that's coming from the Most High, what does it mean? What does the word say? I want you to be knowledgeable. I would not have you ignorant. Okay, you can't be in church and be ignorant. Okay, you can't be, let's put it like this. Let me rephrase that, because you can be in the church and be ignorant, but you should not be part of the. You can't be part of the church and be ignorant. At least you shouldn't be. But is that the case? We know it is. We know that there are people in the world, or not in the world, but in the church, that are ignorant. And most of the time, it's really by choice. Most of the time, because if you read and study the scripture, I'm going to show you a scripture in a minute that talks about that the Heavenly Father doesn't withhold anything from anyone. If you desire to learn, you can learn the Bible better than me. I encourage you to. I encourage it, okay? Because in the Word, we're not jealous of anyone. That's just not the way the Spirit, and that's not the way love operates. I desire you to know as much, even more than me. Not saying that I know a lot or more than anyone out there. I'm just saying, you know, I desire that you what? Would not be ignorant, as Paul says, okay? It says, watch this. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. The reason why I'm sharing these three scriptures, this context, is because it's part of what's going on in the world today in churches. It's also part of Revelation, the second chapter, at the church of Pergamos and also the church of Smyrna. People are led by what? Dumb idols. What are dumb idols? Things that people worship. They are dumb. It's dumb to sit there and watch TV all day. It is. It's dumb to do that all day. It's dumb to idolize something that's not the Heavenly Father, whether it be sports, whether it be a man or a woman. You know, whatever you idolize, it's just dumb to do so. Now, it may not be dumb at the time, and we've all done it. I've done it. We've all are guilty of it. But this is what Paul is saying, okay? This is what the Bible is saying over in Revelation. This is what Christ said, hey, I'm coming back quickly. Wake up. Okay, and I kind of touched on it last night when I was talking about sleeping in church, and this is what I mean. There are so many people in the churches that are just asleep. Okay, and you say, well, what do you mean they're sleeping in church? You mean that they're like dozing off in church and sleeping on the pew? Well, spiritually, yes. But physically and naturally, no. They're woke. They're participating. They're listening. Okay? And they may even be singing. They may be even praising. But spiritually, they are asleep. And he said, well, what do you mean that they're spiritually asleep if they're participating in church? Understand, just because you sing in the choir, just because you attend church, just because you participate in church doesn't mean that you're spiritually awoke, that you're spiritually aware of what's going on. Because this is what's happening. This is what Paul is saying. Who do you think Paul is talking to? He's not outside the church talking to people that's walking up and down the church that don't want anything to do with the Most High. He's talking to the people at the Corinthian church at Corinth. He's talking to them, the people who are the members. Okay, not all members are saved. This is the whole point and purpose that we're trying to drive home to people, is that everyone that looks good, when I say look good, I mean they dress nice, they go to church, they smell good, they act the part, they are not saved. Okay, I've seen it for many years in the church, because when they leave the church, it's like, man, they changed. And I'll never forget when I was a teenager, when I was in high school, and I won't say the people for the sake who all is probably listening, but I'm just going to say this. Some people that we was associated with family-wise, and I'll never forget. This was a shock. I was in the back seat. I was a young man at the time. And you have these two people. Now, remember, again, you have people that they have the look. They dress like church. They may play instruments in the church. They may talk church. They may look like church. They may put on good-smelling perfume and cologne, whatever. They have the look, right? Well, when I was in the car with them, the conversation that they was having did not reflect anything that I could think of that was supposed to be something that was a person who called themselves a Christian. Okay, now back then, remember when I'm having the mindset of back then, that was the most known title back then. I don't call myself a Christian, I call myself a believer. But back then, it just didn't reflect what we would call a Christian or a believer. And I was just mystified the words that they were using, like, why are they talking like that if they're supposed to be people in the church? It was a mystery. I just could not understand. And the reason why I say that, because I say this not to brag. My dad, to me as a pastor, was probably the greatest man, and that I even acknowledge that I don't even match up to him, that when it came to a person that was an ideal pastor or a believer, he was the ideal person, because I actually lived with him and watched him and can truthfully say, if he did anything out of line, I can say by living with the man my whole life, I never saw it. And so he was, to me, a perfect example that someone should walk after Christ. And so seeing these other people that I don't live with, that I see every now and then, it's like, wow. And I'm not judging anyone to say that they was not saved, because that's not my place. But at the same time, because even Christ says not to judge nothing before his time. But you can kind of see where people where the divide comes. Because there's a divide where there's people who even put on the act like they're just perfect and still cannot be a true believer. That happens as well. There's so much division in the church. And this is what Paul constantly dealt with when he went to the different churches. And this is what Christ had John to write. When he said to John, he told John to write. We're going to go over to Revelation here in a minute, because I want to get back to the word over in Revelation. But I had to share this with you, these first three verses. I'm not through, but I had to share these first three verses with you. When he says, verse 2, ye know that ye were Gentiles. Gentiles were the people who were not chosen. They were not the chosen people. So Paul was talking to the actual Gentile, and he said that we know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, because that's how the Jews, the Hebrew Israelite people at the time, they kind of looked down on people, but not in a sense that they were better. Now, there was a lot of them that did, but remember, Paul and the people who followed Christ, because Christ taught them different. Don't look down on anyone. He taught his believers, hey, his followers, don't look down. You're not better than anyone. Even Paul taught that you're not better than anyone. But he was just saying, hey, this what you're doing, this pagan religion, that's dumb. You're serving a dead god. You're serving an idol. You're serving a wooden statue, or you're serving a cement statue or a picture. And we see that now with so many different religions. People are serving these different idolized pictures, of statues, wooden statues. People got them in the home. Those are dumb idols. Why are you worshiping these dumb idols? And this is what Paul was saying. He says, even as ye were led. Someone led you into this, whether you was raised up in this way, whether someone taught you this way, whether it's something you picked up on your own, even as you were led. Now watch what verse 3 comes to say, okay? Paul says, wherefore, I give you to understand. Now you see the difference there? You see the parallel? First, he said that you should not be what? Ignorant. So now I'm going to what? Teach you. I want you to what? Be knowledgeable. Okay, so this is what Paul says. Be knowledgeable, okay? He says, I give you to understand, right, that no man speaking by the Spirit. Now, let me stop right there. Let me teach you there. In order to teach by the Spirit, which is what I'm doing now, you have to have the Spirit. The Holy Spirit must be in you. You must be filled with what? The Holy Ghost. Else you cannot what? You cannot teach by the Spirit. You cannot teach the Word. It's what Paul said, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God, which means that you have the Holy Spirit, calleth Jesus accursed. Now, let me say this. And there's so many scriptures I can reference, but for the sake of time, to stay on the subject of the study, I'm just going to just share this with you. I'm going to show you one, share one verse with you. When you are believers, we may disagree, but we don't go at each other. Okay? That's not the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't work like that. That's just like saying you going against yourself. Who goes against themselves? I don't. Okay? I don't go against myself. It just doesn't make any sense. Okay? So in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is not going to go against itself. Okay? So because we are, in other words, because we are the body of Christ, we cannot say anything evil about Christ or to Christ. So hopefully that makes sense. Because you cannot speak evil of Christ. You're not going to speak evil of your Lord and Savior. It makes absolutely no sense. Because why? He is the Spirit by the Spirit and by his Heavenly Father. Because why? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are one. And because now, remember I told you earlier, this is why I shared it with you, the Holy Spirit now indwells us because we are within the church age. We are in a chosen time. This is like the best time to be a saint is in the church age because now the Holy Spirit is here and the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and he protects us. Anytime you leave the house, you're praying that the Holy Spirit keeps you and guides you in your family. Why? Because that's what he does. He's the keeper. He protects you because no matter what somebody wants to do to you, the Holy Spirit won't allow it. Okay? Man, I got so many stories I can share with you, but I'm just going to keep moving, okay? But no one can touch you as long as you have the Holy Spirit. And this is why it's so important. This is why we're driving home so much. Get saved. And we're not begging you to. We're not trying to entice you to. We're not trying to trick you into it. We're not trying to get you into it. That's not what we do. We're teaching you that, and we desire, we hope that you do come to the side because we know the benefits of being a saint. We know the benefits of being a believer. Hey, man, come on to the side because nobody can lay a hand or a finger on you without the Most High. That's one thing Lucifer can't do. That's what he knows. That's what he knows. He knows if he gets saved, that's why he gets so mad when we teach the rightly divided word. He gets so mad and upset when people get saved because, man, you get saved, that's it. He can no longer do anything to you. Death can't do nothing to you. It's it. They got hands off. But if you're out there in that world, death abides on you. The Bible says that. Now watch this. It says that no man that's speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse or Yeshua. That no man can say that Yeshua is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So those of us who acknowledge the Lord and Savior and the Christ is going to return to get us, that's only by the Holy Ghost. Only knows that believers speak this way. You don't see people out there in the world. I can never remember a time when I was in the world that any of my so-called friends, the people I hung around, just all of a sudden started talking about the Bible, started talking about Christ. It just don't happen. Because why? They're not going to do it because they don't believe, number one. And number two, they don't have the Holy Spirit. Or maybe I should say because, number one, they don't have the Holy Spirit. Number two, they don't believe. Or either or. They're just not going to do it because the Holy Spirit doesn't live there. But when the Holy Spirit lives there, this is your talk. This is a common thing. To know the Word is a common thing because you exercise what? The Spirit by the Spirit. Now watch this. I got to share this with you. Go over to Mark, the 9th chapter, 39. I have to share this with you because this has a lot of relevance to the teaching that I'm going to do in Revelation and what we're dealing with in the churches today. Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 39 through 41, actually. This is what it says. It says, but Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly, hear the word, that can lightly, I'm going to say it again, that can lightly speak evil of me. You won't even so much as barely say something bad about your Lord and Savior. You won't even so much as think anything evil about your Lord and Savior. Why? Because you can't. The Holy Spirit won't allow it. It's not part of you anymore. Yeah, when you're in the world, non-believers, this is why you have people who use the Lord's name in vain. They blaspheme. They say all this silly, crazy stuff. But we can't. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives there. That's how you know you're saved. I can't do it. Why? Why would I say anything against Yahweh and Yeshua? That's my Lord and Savior. That's my Heavenly Father. And by the Holy Spirit that I'm led and protected by. That doesn't make any sense, right? Christ said that you can't lightly speak evil of me. It's impossible. And this is why we say you can't lose your salvation. You can't, because it goes against the code or whatever you want to call it. It just goes against the Spirit. It can't be done. You can't lose your salvation. There's nothing you can do to try to lose it. You can't. Well, you can walk out here, people say, oh, you can walk away. Well, they were never saved. Point that we're making. Now watch this, verse 40 and 41. It says, for he that is not against us is on our part. That's important. It says that for he that is not against us, he ain't speaking against Christ. He's on our side. And I just told you earlier that believers don't go against each other. I have a brother that's in the ministry as well, and we talk about the Bible all the time. We talk about different things, different subjects. He'll say something, I'll say something, we'll go back and research, we'll look over it. We may even disagree. We may say, you know what, we have to agree to disagree. But we still love one another. We don't fall out and just say, well, I ain't got nothing to do with you because why? Something said. It's just not how believers act. Now, there may be some time where you may disagree. And we know sometimes that we are human, we're flesh, and sometimes we get upset with one another. That's just natural. But we still love one another, and that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen because it can't. Because the Holy Spirit indwells him, the Holy Spirit indwells me, and because we are about love, we know that's what the Holy Spirit is, and we know that's what Christ is about, we know that's what our Heavenly Father is about. So it's impossible. It can't be done. Verse 41 says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, man, that's deep. Because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Now, let me say this to you. Watch this. Let me say this to you. I love to say this. I love this part. I love to say that salvation is free. And by the way, get your tickets. They free. We give them away tickets. They free. Get on the glory bound train. Don't miss it. Okay, I'm going to tell you, when Christ come back, you're not going to want to miss this. You're not going to want to be, you're going to want to be there, okay? Trust me when I tell you, when Christ returns, you're going to want to be there, okay? There's a second opportunity, but it ain't guaranteed. That's through the great tribulation. The great tribulation is going to be so horrible, and we're going to get into that when we get to Revelation. It's going to be so horrible. It's going to be so unimaginable. Man, and I don't want to, there's so much I can say, but I know people want me to get to the exciting parts, and people have itching ears, and they want you to hurry up and get to that part and leave this stuff alone. But you got to get the basics. Because if you don't understand the basics, in other words, you got to get the milk before you can get the meat. If I give you the meat first, you're going to be like, you can't handle me. You may choke. If I give you the milk first, so let's get the milk, let you grow, then we'll give you the meat. Okay? But I got to say this. I got to share it with you. Get your tickets. They're free. This is why I always like to say that salvation is free. And salvation is so easy and so free. That's easier than drinking water or breathing air. And he said, overseer, now why do you say that? Because I have to constantly drink water. Like if I want to take some drink right now, I got to constantly drink the water. And you need water. If you don't drink the water, you'll die, right? If you don't breathe the air, you'll die, right? Two things we can't live without is water and air. Well, guess what? Why wouldn't you want to live without salvation? Why would you want to live without Christ? But people are choosing to. And there are just tragic things going on all the time. People leaving this world every day. Without Christ, don't do it. Get your tickets, they free. And watch this in verse 41. It says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name. If that is not an example of how easy salvation is. He said, see, that. And another thing, this is how much you're rewarded. I told you, you're rewarded for every little thing. And this is a perfect example. I'm so glad I read this verse. It says if you should just give somebody a cup of water in Christ's name, he said that you should not lose what? So you don't, you mean to tell, if I go hand somebody a bottle of water and let's say, brother, here, you want this water? I just got rewarded for that. You probably get so much reward, there's more than millions of dollars you can even imagine on this planet. And I say, why would people want to miss these opportunities for chasing stuff in Hollywood and for fame and fortune and to be known in this world, which is going to pass away? I think about all the people who became famous and rich and now, and they die broke. But they didn't sell their soul for nothing. That's unimaginable. You didn't sell your soul for nothing. Lucifer, like I said last week, Lucifer sold you on some trinkets. Just like he did Adam and Eve. You won't surely die, so he tricked them. But see, now they ain't gave up. They got kicked out the Garden of Eden. They lost eternal life because it was meant for them to live eternal on the earth. They had these beautiful bodies, which they supposed to live with. They lost all that. For what? Satan tricked them. Aha, I got the tree of knowledge. See, he didn't trick them. Don't sell yourself short. Don't do it. It ain't worth it. I can more than guarantee, hey, I done been there, done some of those things out there. As I look back, I'm so grateful every single day of my life for my salvation. I'm sharing this with you because it's going to have a strong point when we get to Revelation 2 and start talking about the Church of Pergamos. We talked about the Church of Smyrna last week and how there are some who are in the synagogue of Satan who are saying that they are Jews, and they are not the Jews. But it's not only just them. There are some regular churches out here that are disguised as the church. This is the point that we're driving home. They are disguised as the church. And this is what Paul picked up on in Corinthians. Hey, some of these people here are not even saved. I see it when I go to church. I see it when I preach. Boy, people will cut their eyes at you. Like, I'm like, man, why are you even in the church? Why are you even here? Lucifer, I remember one time I had my pastor, I tell you, my pastor, my mentor in the ministry. He was my first pastor that mentored me in the ministry. And I remember I invited him to speak at one of my church anniversaries. It was great. And I'll never forget when he first started off his sermon. It was so funny to us, but he was serious. He said, the devil is in here right now. I see the devil's in here right now looking at me. I said, wow. The church just busted out laughing because it was so funny, because we could discern and see things that people inside the audience can't see, because, wow, we're looking at people. We're looking at Lucifer. We're looking at demons because we see them in the church. This is what we're driving home to you all. Everybody that dress up, smell good, look like, sound like, act like, they are not believers. Christ dealt with that. He said they are ravening. He said beware of ravening wolves. Let me go over into that scripture. I got to share that with you real quick. He said, man, he probably saying we're gonna ever get the revelation. This is important. This is why I'm covering it, because you know, people, when you talk, that's why I can't help but to give you scripture, because a lot of times people think it's okay. I get it. It's good to minister and talk. But the word is the most important thing. The word is the most important thing. I got to give you the word and what the word says, right? Okay? This is what I want to give to you, is what the word says, okay? And this is what Christ talked about. This is Revelation, the 7th chapter, verse 15 through 20. It says, beware of false prophets. This is not just false prophets. This is false Christians, false believers, whatever you want to get title you want to give it. You know, in fact, I want to share this, and I'm glad I thought about this. Because they say at this point in time, they say that we live in now. That's how we know we're getting close to the return of Christ, the Messiah. They say that this is the most church people. I'm just going to say church. I'm going to say Christians are believers. You can call them Christians, whatever. I'm not going to say that they're believers. They said they said there's about a billion people or more on the planet that go to church who claim Christianity. Well, even Christ said himself, all these people sent there say, they're not saved. This is why he says, excuse me, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I know you're not. And this is the same chapter where he says, I never knew you. That's verse 21 through 23. I encourage you to read that. I never knew you. Okay? So it says, beware of false prophets. I'm going to say beware of false believers and false Christians. Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Man, that's deep. There are people in the church who acting like they are sheep, but on the inside they are wolves in what? Sheep's clothing. They are not saved. That's why I keep telling people, stop saying people lost their salvation. Stop saying people, oh, they were saved. They were never saved. They were just in the church, pretend they was wolves in sheep clothing. They looked like sheep, but they were really wolves. Hey, you know what? One thing I like about the Heavenly Father, there ain't no gray. There ain't no in between. Either you're saved or you're not saved. There is no in between. Either you're saved, and once you're saved, you're going to stay saved, or you will never save. That's just all it is to it. Get over it. I have to say it because, you know, people get in their feelings when they hear this message. It's just too much for them. Here's the word. I got scripture after scripture that prove what I say, and I tell you, and I'm not saying it to boast about, but I got to keep it real. They have not presented one verse or one scripture in the Bible that can come up against what I teach. That's because I'm walking in the Spirit. That's because I walk with the Most High, the one and only true God of heaven, and his Son, Yeshua the Christ, is coming back to get us. Either you're with us or you're not. Drive out the devils. If you want to leave, good, leave. Because, I just can't deal with false prophets, false believers, fake people. I've never liked fake people. From the time I was young, I never liked them. I can't stand them now. We don't want nothing to do with fake people. I can't deal with fakeness. Be real. If you want to be fake somewhere else. Let's just keep it real, okay? Sometimes I kind of get on my soapbox and kind of get a spiritual attitude because sometimes you just kind of get, just like, why don't people get this? It's simple. If I can teach kids and kids get it, you got hard-headed adults that act like they don't get it. This is the word. Accept it. There are some things in the Bible that in the past that I may have had a problem with, I got to accept it. Because if I say I love him, I got to accept his word. And I got to change my ways and change my life to fit what he wants me to be, not what I want to be. And this is what Paul dealt with. People in the church who were wolves in sheep clothing didn't want to change. Instead, they want to come in and do. That's why you got so many different religions and denominations, and nobody wants to follow the true word. They want to make up stuff and do what they want to do. They have their own agenda. You can't have it your way. The same Burger King or McDonald's or whatever they call it. This is the Bible. This is the word. We are living for Christ. We're living for the Most High. He said, I created you for my pleasure. And because man, see, that's why Lucifer fell from heaven, pride. He wants to do what he wants to do. He wants to be God. He didn't agree. He probably got tired of worshiping or whatever his deal was. He had a problem with the Most High. He did. He wanted to do his own thing. That's not how it works. You can't do your own thing. We were created by him, and it says over in Revelation, I created you. Revelation, the fourth chapter, which we're going to be teaching on soon. I create you for my purpose. That's why we are created. We are created to serve and worship him. So we got to worship him in spirit and in truth. We got to worship the way he wants us to worship. We can't just make up our own word and make up our own thing, but I have to share this with you, okay? So sometimes I kind of get off subject. I didn't mean to, but I just wanted to share that with you because I'm trying to drive home a point because I'm just so tired of people playing in church. This is the issue. People fake love in church, fake loving and all that. I can't stand it. You know, it just bothers my spirit. Like, man, what's going on? That this is the problem. This is the reason we talked about this last night. It's the reason why people are not being saved because the rightfully divided word has not been taught all these years. And look at all the people that are just sitting in church, not getting salvation, not receiving deliverance, not getting healed, not living the life that was desired and put before them to live because of the wrong false doctrines and teaching, because people out here teaching about money and prosperity and you can have this house, you can have this car, and I've been slapping people across the head with oil and telling them all kind of stuff that you're going to be a billionaire and a millionaire. What in the world is going on? Why are we teaching that Christ is going to, Christ can save you in that, and don't get me wrong, I know people want it now. Trust me, I do. Hey, I understand, I get it. I like to live comfortable, nice. Now, there are some things that I would desire to have, but hey, until that season come, I'm going to press toward the mark until he blesses me, because it may not be for me to have certain things, because he may not want me to have it, because I probably stop studying and reading my word every day and teaching the word. And, you know, I don't believe that I will, but who knows? He knows us better than we know ourselves. So I want to press toward the mark for the high calling, live for him, and receive out as many spiritual gifts as I possibly can by blessing you and loving you and giving you the rightly divided word. The word says that whom he loveth, he chastiseth. That's why sometimes I have to come out hard. I have to chastise because I love you, because I want you to get the rightly divided. Get it right. Stop playing. Christ is coming back soon, and people are playing. You know, we was on the air last night, and we were talking about people sleeping in church. People have no idea what's about to happen. There are people in church that have no idea how horrible and gruesome the great tribulation is going to be. Man, there's going to be 1 billion people. You can't imagine. We think this that's going on in the world now, this is a joke. This is a trial run for what's coming. See, this is what y'all want to hear. Y'all want to hear, y'all. This is real. This is what's coming. This is just a trial run for what's about to come. They revving up. They revving up. Whatever Lucifer and the fallen angels and the demons are doing, they are revving up, baby. They getting ready to go. They can't wait. That's why Christ is in the gates of hell shall not prevail. When they open up them gates, oh, you can't imagine what's going to be on this planet. You do not want to be here. This ain't to scare you. This ain't to encourage you to come. It's up to you. This is a choice. It's my job is to give you the word. Like this one brother, Ted, had the nerve to tell me one time, oh, you ain't convinced me. Brother, I ain't trying to convince you. My job is to tell you, if you don't accept it, when you stand before Christ on judgment that day, you're going to be naked, and you're going to stand up before him and all his holy angels and before his heavenly Father and before all of his saints, and you have to give an account for everything that you did in this life. Who wants to do that? I know I don't want to do that. I don't like nobody to run me up and down about anything. I don't care if it's on the job. I don't care if my wife questioned me about something. I don't care if somebody in the family. I don't care. Nobody likes to be questioned. But can you imagine for 30 or 50 years of your life that you lived on this planet, you didn't live it for him? He going to ask and you got to give an account for every thought, every word, every act that you've done in this life. You don't want to be here when the great tribulation kick off. You just don't. This thing that's here on the planet now is a trial. This is a joke. You talking about billions of people going to leave this planet per year. It's going to be 7 years great tribulation. Billions are going to be murdered and massacred. You think this man, it's going to be so much death, it's going to be stench in the air. Man, you can say what you want to. That's real. Because there's not going to be no mortuary. They ain't going to be able to bury all the, just like we saw during the time of Hitler when they showed us that in school. Some of us saw the film, what happened to the, and we know they're not the real Jews, but we saw that film, and they were just bulldozing bodies. I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, they dug a big old pit and just bulldozing bodies. I'm like, what? They actually did people like this? I mean, they didn't give them graves and say, hey, go bury them over here, put them in the grave, put a little stick there. No, they just clumped the bodies all day, just threw dirt on the mound. That's unbelievable. Oh, you think is? Let me give you scripture. I know I'm going to get to Revelation too, but this is relevant because this is part of what's going on in the church. This is why the world's in the situation is because nobody wants to hear the real, true, rightly divided word. This is meat. This is a steak right here I'm giving you. This is steak. This ain't meal. This is steak I'm giving you today. Because why? It's needed. Let me share this with you. Go to Matthew, the 24th chapter. And then I'm going to read verse 14 because this is Christ talking. He says in verse 14, he says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's what we've been preaching for the past 2,000 years. I'm preaching it today. We're preaching you what? The gospel of the kingdom. This is the kingdom preaching that I'm giving you today and that I've always been given. This is what you're getting. 100%, 120%, whatever you want to call it, pure word, pure love, pure salvation. This is what you're getting, the gospel of the kingdom. Now watch this. Then he said, then the end shall come. Christ is going to come back and get the church. I say it all the time. I say it. I'm going to keep on saying it. That sky, that trumpet going to blow. That sky is going to crack open, and he's going to shout. He's going to gather everyone from the past 2,000 years that had the Holy Spirit indwelling them. He's going to call them up out the grave. I mean, it's just going to go all over the planet. He's going to reap those bodies out of the earth. And we're going to be with him for all eternity going forward. The world is not going to have a clue. I'm telling you, even people in church have no clue of what's coming. Now watch this. Watch what Christ says. Verse 21. And I'm going to share the rest of you because it's all going to be part of Revelation. We're going to come back to it. But I just want to share verse 21 and 22 to you. He says, "For then shall be great tribulation." This is after Christ resurrected the dead, and we go back into the sky. It's going to be a cloud. We're just going to be gone. And people are going to be like, "What just happened? What just happened?" Well, they're going to have it on social media. Well, they're going to have it on the phone, the news. They're going to be like, "What in the world?" They have no clue. Only us that's believing, that's hearing this message, know what's about to happen. And it's the time for it. This is the time for it. We are so close. We all believe it. Hey, we could be wrong. We could be like the prophets of old, and because the people, the last 2,000 have been preaching the same thing. It may be another 1,000, maybe another 2,000. But the point is that you get ready, because he said, "Lo, I come quickly." We don't know when he's going to come. Christ even said, "I don't even know when I'm coming back until the heavenly Father, until my Father in heaven tells me to come down and get the saints." Man, that's powerful. Watch this. Verse 21, it says, "For there shall be great tribulation." This is right after we go back with Christ. He says, "Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." In other words, for that 7 years, man, I'm telling you, all the things that's happening behind the curtain is going to be on the forefront. It ain't going to be nothing here. They're going to be doing it out in front of your face. If they want to, you think this stuff that's going on in the world, they murdering people and killing, it's going to be senseless. This movie that they got, I ain't never seen. I've always heard about it. My kids talking about some movie called The Grudge. That's a joke. That's kindergarten candy and cupcake and compared to what's coming. Man, you can't imagine billions dying every year. There's about 7 to 8 billion people. Remember, when he come back, it's going to be a massacre. Lucifer going to cut loose. He can't wait. The demons, they can't wait. They can't wait to cut loose. Man, there's so much plan. I talked to a friend last night, and we was talking about you know hell and stuff like that and death. And I tell people need to quit playing when people talk. They didn't been to heaven. Talking about they didn't been to hell. You ain't been to hell. Ain't no one. Only person that's been to hell that we just record that we know of is Christ, and he was raised from it. And people have had life and death experience. I understand. I've talked to family knowledge that, hey, they had a near-death experience, or they experienced an out-of-body experience. Yeah, I can go with that. But when you go to talk about you, let me tell you something. Paul said it best. Paul said, "I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men what Christ has for them that love him." But guess what? I always teach you about the parallels. Guess what? On the other side, I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men what's in hell and what's to come in the lake of fire. You can't imagine what's coming. So stop the madness. Stop people saying, you ain't been to hell. You don't know what the lake of fire is like. We can't imagine the pain that's coming. Get your tickets. Stay free. Get your tickets. Stay free. I don't care what you love. It ain't worth it. I don't care if you love money. I don't care if you love cars, houses, businesses, men, women. Don't care what you love. It ain't going to be worth it. The word said, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul?" Your soul is the most important thing to you. And you want to play games with it? I ain't playing games with my soul. I told the Heavenly Father 20 years ago when I was driving home, I was at a stop sign. It's like a little park reserve area, nice little area, no cars. I looked in the sky. The Holy Spirit touched me, and some said, "You know what, Tim, what are you doing? You was raised to know better. Your dad's a preacher. You was raised in the church, your family." I looked up in the sky and said, "You know what? Heavenly Father, I don't want to go to hell. Don't let me go there. I was asking my exact words, I don't want to go to hell. Back then, I didn't know how to say, I didn't know about salvation. But the Bible says that it says it over in Romans, the 10th chapter. What does it say? Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 13. It says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you got to do, it don't matter if you don't know, just call on his name. You shall be saved. We're in that day and time where you can just receive salvation. Hey, receive him. Don't play games. Don't play with him. He's yours. Salvation is free. Salvation is forever. It says it. Right? Salvation is yours. Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 9, verse 13, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever should call on Christ, save my soul. If you don't know how to do it, Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 9 and 10, if you want to be spiritually correct. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, that's how you do it. Tell other people. If you don't know the Bible, if you don't at least know the plan of salvation to save some soul. Hey, what must I do to be saved? That's the question I want to know. Anytime I go to a church, if I take over a church, my minister or whatever, they want me to come there. Hey, how do you save people? I want to know what the people know. I'm like Paul. I need to know who I'm dealing with. I ain't going to just come in and just taking over and folks just, no. Paul said, y'all going after dumb idols. Let's go ahead and go over to Revelation, the second chapter. Okay, Revelation is the second chapter. We're talking about the Church of Pergamos. And what I want to deal with today is sectarianism. And what that is that's an excessive attachment to a particular party, or especially in a religion. And this is what we've been talking about. The church has become so divided. We got all these different denominations. See, Lucifer knew what he was doing. This is how he causes confusion. Lucifer has his people in church. This is why I have to go through all that to explain, because I had to break it down to you to make it easy. I had to do the milk side to bring you to the meat. Okay, I know some of it was some strong meat back there. I had to throw some of that meat in there with the milk, but I just want you to get it, okay? Verse 12 of Revelation, the second chapter, it says, and to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things said he which had the sharp sword with two edges. Now, we talked about what the angels was. We talked about the candlesticks. If you don't know what it is, do your research. We've been talking about it, so I don't want to go back over it right now. I want you to understand. Verse 12, what is Christ saying? Okay? He that which had the what? Sharp sword with two edges. Man, Christ is coming back. And, you know, I know we talk about the great tribulation is coming and how Lucifer is going to wreak havoc on this earth. He can't wait. He's been waiting since the beginning. Lucifer hates man. And I think this is what intrigues me the most, how people have the nerve to sell their soul or to go and serve him. He hates you. He don't like you. He don't love you. You ain't his friend. Remember, this is different from agape. This is different from spiritual love. This is conditioned love. He's saying he loves you. Hey, you know, you think he loved Adam and Eve when he caused them to lose what they lost? Absolutely. Now, he was glad they gave it up. He's one of those type of prayer. We dealt with the spirit of Antichrist. We dealt with people like that on the earth who act like they're tricky, act like they cool with you and everything, and then, bam, they stab you in the back. We dealt with them type of people. That's the spirit of Lucifer. Okay? But watch what it says in verse 13. It says, he talked to the church of Pergamos and said, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Okay? There are so many religions out there that have the opportunity. We talked about this last week. They're holding the Bible, and at some point you have to ask some questions. What is this really all about? Is this God of heaven real? Yes, he is. Do they know he's real? Yes, they do. Just like I knew before I got saved. Though I was raised in church, I wanted to do my own thing. See, I always had questions. You always had doubt. Remember, you can't have that, and I just showed you can't have doubt in salvation. That's not how salvation works. It's a surety thing. It's a thing that I know for a fact. There is no doubting when it comes to salvation. I know that I'm saved. I know that Christ is coming back to give me. I know that Yahweh sits on the throne. I know that the Holy Spirit leads and guides and protects me on a daily basis. There's no doubt, beyond the shadow of a doubt, okay? But, you see, with this church, they said what? He said, they has not denied my name. They had the Bible. They had the word. But it said that where Satan's seat is, there are so many people that have opportunity that's playing church. I don't care how big or small the church is. They have opportunity. They're just playing church. Okay, they playing people for the money. They're bringing in all this money, preaching prosperity. And I'm not saying that everyone, you know, is or is not saved, but we know according to the word that a lot of these churches are not saved. A lot of these people in the pulpit are not saved. They're playing, but Christ is saying you have an opportunity to get saved. You have an opportunity to know the truth. You're hearing it. You have the book in front of you. Here's somebody who is really speaking the truth, really know the truth. But watch this. Verse 14 says, but I have a few things against thee. Okay? So the church of Pergamos wasn't really bad. Okay? Well, they was because they wasn't believing. But in other words, when I say they wasn't really bad, they had the closest opportunity. They had the greatest opportunity to receive salvation. It's right there in front of your face. We talked about those. It's just, now, see, because I don't want you to just focus on the man that's behind the pulpit. We're really focusing on the entire church as a whole. So we're talking about Pergamos, and we're talking about the people sitting in the very church, seeing people in church for years. Why are you here? If you're not here to grow spiritually and know the Bible, what are we doing? We're playing church. Okay? Do you remember when you was a kid? That's exactly what you were doing. When you would play church, you had no idea about salvation. We know that you didn't know about it. But you got grown people that are playing church. They come to church. They sit and see they have an opportunity. Right? It says, even where Satan's seat is, in other words, they go into these satanic church, these satanic, you know that these people are not present. And let me tell you something. When you know the word, you can tell what's going on. When the pastor starts saying certain things, nope, let's go. Family, let's go. What we just got, let's go. This is where Satan's seat is. And I don't play with churches like that. When pastors start saying certain things, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not even the Bible. What are you talking about? Time to go. See, you can't play with your soul. And I don't let nobody play with my soul. This is mine. This belongs to me. And it don't belong to Lucifer. It ain't his. I ain't selling it to nobody. It ain't for sale. Okay, ain't no for sale sign on my soul. It ain't for sale. It's mine. It can't sell me out for nothing. I've heard some people say they'll sell their soul for some of the most craziest things you ever. If you offer them $1 billion, they would do some of the most crazy. Look, you can't offer me $1 billion for nothing. You keep that $1 billion. My soul belongs to mine. Because, see, I know the trade-off for that. They give it to you, you'll be dead the next day. That's a trade-off. Then your soul is going to fall into. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, lose his soul? See, some people just can't be tricked. You can't tell me I won't surely die. You can't tell, well, if you bite of the tree, you won't. See, you can't play that game with some of us. Some people, yeah, you can play that game, and that's the problem in church. Some people are playing this game, okay? But verse 14 says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Now, if you don't know that story, I encourage you to go back and read that story. I'm not going to get into that story. Maybe I'll do it next week or sometime in the future. But right now, I'm not going to get into that story. This is why we're talking about what? Sectarianism. Because why? This was a particular sect, a religion, right? And these people were a group. And what they were deceiving what? The children of Israel. This was Israel's problem. This is why we're being punished. This is why our ancestors went through slavery. This is why we're going through this. Now we get killed and murdered out here now. But if you get up under the promise, if you get up under the salvation, a lot of these things won't happen to you. A lot of these curses are not going to befall you. Because the curses are not written to those who believe. They're for those who were chosen and choose not to believe. And this is why I tell our people in particular, quit saying that you don't believe in the Most High. Stop that nonsense. Really, nobody should say that. But we know we got a world full of people that do, and they're not going to stop. Whether they were of the chosen people or not, whether they are Jews or Gentiles, I tell you, there's so much split and divide, and you got to know how to discern it. The Jews were chosen, and they chose not to believe. That's a split. They was given the word. This is what we're talking about. You was given the word. The children of Israel was given the word. You were the chosen people, and you chose not to follow the Most High. You made that choice. It didn't have nothing to do with Lucifer. Just like Adam and Eve made that choice. Yeah, we know that Lucifer came because it says in Revelation, it said, lo unto man, for Lucifer has come down unto you. It said that in Revelation 12. We know that. But you still have a choice. Just like I have a choice. I made a choice. That day when I was driving home, I said, you know what? I don't want to do that no more. I don't want to do these things no more in the world. Lord, hey, you know what? I was taught. I was given the word. See, again, I'm giving you myself. I can only give you an example. The best example was me, I think, to help you to understand. I was sitting in church for many of y'all. I was raised in church. This is what the scripture is saying, okay? I didn't deny the fact. I didn't deny that there was a God. I just didn't accept him. See, there's a difference. See, I can acknowledge, yeah, I believe that Christ is real. Yeah, I believe that Yahweh is real. But if I don't believe and accept him as my Lord and Savior, see, that's the difference. You got to accept him. See, I didn't accept that. I was going all these years in church, raising church, my dad's pastor, but I wanted to do my own thing. I said, no, I'm not ready for church. I'll wait till I get old and, you know, gray or whatever. You know, hey, man, maybe 60. Well, I'm through doing me. And I get saved. Yahweh had a different plan for that. Nope, we ain't doing that. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Because I always think back 20 years ago, if I never would have received him, I probably wouldn't live long after that. That's how it works. See, after so long, the Bible talks about how a tree is cut down if you bear no fruit. I've given you chance after chance. You grew up in the church. You was raised in the church. You were born in the church, basically. Your mom played the piano. Your dad taught Sunday school for years, and then he transitioned to a minister and then to a pastor, taught the word, taught you growing up. Hey, I tasted the word. I was just tasting and eating the word. Hey, man, I see that. I praise the song in the choir, all these different things. See, you can taste it. You can taste it. But you have to accept it, okay? So it's kind of like you can taste something and say, oh, I don't want to eat that. That's not salvation. So when I taste it and ingest it, say, yeah, I want that. And you'll see that about John. John had to, he said, he told him to eat it, right? He gave him a book. He said, eat this. He tasted it. He said, I'm going to save it for another day. Well, I want to get ahead of myself. But this is the point. I'm teaching you something here. Okay, give me the word. Let me move forward. Okay, so I was raised in church, given the word, taught the word, chose to go do my own thing, like the prodigal son. Knew better. I wasn't saved just because my dad was a pastor. I wasn't saved because I was raised in church. I wasn't saved because my mom played the piano. I wasn't saved because I helped out and did activities in the church, like took up tithes or offering or did deacon work. I wasn't saved. That don't make you saved just because you participate in church. This must be clear because this is where there's a disconnect. This is where the divide is, where people don't understand. Like, see, people say, oh, and I thought he was saved. He wasn't saved. I wasn't saved. I participated. I went to church. I went to all the functions. But when the night fell, hey, I'm at the club. I'm doing me. I'm doing the world. I'm doing what I want to do. A lot of people didn't know it. Parents didn't know it. I wasn't saved. But he'll reach out and touch you and say, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to give you a chance. Yes, Father, I hear you. I accept. I won't save me. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to burn in the lake of fire. Okay? So back then, I didn't know anybody. I said, I don't want to burn in the hell. And I didn't. I didn't want that suffering for all eternity. That, I knew that much. I didn't want to suffer for all eternity. I said, you know what? I better accept it now while I'm alive. I can die any moment. I'm gone. That's it. Okay? That's how it works. Then I became saved. This is what the word is saying. There's so many people in church, they're tasting it. People even playing. They act like they shouting and everything. They act like they speaking in tongues. They playing. They're not saved. Okay? So stop saying people, oh, they used to be. They ain't used to be nothing. They never was. They playing. Okay? They're like when you was a kid, was up there with other kids up there, y'all, amen, and playing. They was church, and the parents thought it was cute. They playing. They grown now, still playing church. Verse 14, just read it, verse 14. But I just want to finish the last part where it talks about the children. It says to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. this is the things that's going on. Now watch verse 15. We talked about the Nicolaitans last week. I don't know why I have a hard time seeing that word as a whole. It's like when I'm not on the air, I can see it smoothly, but when I see it, it's like it's hard for me to see it. It says, verse 15, so it says, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I'm quite sure I'm missing that name, but amen. Which thing I hate. We talked about them last week. This was a pagan religion. They were a group of people, just talk about the same thing, a sect. They were a group of people, again, religious people. They wasn't religion by the Bible. They probably didn't use the Bible. I see them out there. There's a lot of fake religions use the Bible. We know who they are. You know who they are. Very popular religions and people using the Bible. This is the devil. This is the seed of Satan. They're not real. They ain't believers. You ain't no straddling the fence. You can't pretend and halfway do it. You can't read this book and then read from the Bible. No, ain't how it works. Either you're all the way with Yahweh or you're not. Ain't no other God and all the other names. He's got one name. They're like, my name is Tim. You ain't going to call me Tom, Dave, Mark, Harry, Greg. Ain't my name. My name is Tim. Okay? That's it. You can't call me. I go to another country. I don't care what my name is in another country. My name is Tim. And that's what you're going to call me about. So you have to learn my name. That's why I call him Yahweh, and that's why I call him Yeshua. So if you want to call him whatever, that's fine. But for me, I'm going to call him what his name is. Okay? This is what we're dealing with. He said that the Nicolaitans, man, I know I'm turning that name up. These were a pagan group, okay? And so we talked about that last week, how Christ and how the church of Ephesus hated them. Why? Because they knew that they wasn't real. They act like they were part of the movement of followers of Christ, and they were not. They knew what they were doing. The same thing is going on right now today. Verse 16, watch what Christ says. Christ says, repent. See, they have the opportunity. They read the word. They know some scriptures. They can quote some scriptures. They even say some good things out of the Bible, but that ain't, they don't believe. I'm telling you, don't get caught up. Don't get tricked. Don't get fooled by these people out here. You got to follow the way of Christ, the way of the Bible. And you don't get to call it nothing else. Okay, that's why I say I'm a non-denomination, because I mean there's some scriptures that I may get to share with you, I may not, but maybe we get into it next time. Some scriptures I'm gonna share with you, and I'll just give you the scriptures, and I'll just paraphrase. Let's just do that. I'll just share the scriptures with you. One of them is 1 Corinthians the 3rd chapter verses 4-6, where Paul says, you know, am I of Paul? Are you of Apollos? He says no. He said that we are of what? We're supposed to be of Christ. Don't just because I baptized you, just because I taught you, just because Apollos taught you, don't go making no church or no group or no sect or no religion after us. Absolutely not. We are of who? Christ. Let's keep the oneness. Let's not separate. And this is the problem which is going on here in the churches now. But watch what Christ says. He says, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly. And we'll fight against them with the sword of my mouth. What did he say? I'm going to judge them. He's going to judge you. You know how many false pastors have fallen and false religions have fallen? He's come quickly and judged them. You don't know when he's going to come. People playing games in the church, whether they're in the pulpit or whether they sit up in the pews, they playing church. Christ says, what? Repent. Verse 17 says, he that hath an ear. You have to have an ear. You got to want to desire to hear the word. I love to hear the word. I love to hear other people preach. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Christ was talking to all seven churches. And there was really only two churches that really didn't have a problem. The other five churches did. There was not really no condemnation for the church of Smyrna, nor was there really a condemnation at all. We definitely know for the church of Philadelphia. That's the church of love. That's the church that I claim, the church of love, because I love you. I tell people all the time, I have to say, I love you. And I do this for you because I love you. I bring the word and I come with the word in this manner because I love you. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be saved. I want you to be delivered. I want you to receive the Holy Spirit and salvation, which is the greatest gift to mankind that you can receive, is eternal life and a restored body. People do all this stuff out here in the world, trying to make their body look good, trying to have these surgeries and these pills and diets and machines. And these folks want eternal life too. But they want to have eternal life at their expense. See, that's idolizing. They want to do the worldly. They want to do what they want to do, but they want to live forever. That's why Yahweh took away the tree of life in the garden. He said, at least man take of the tree of life also, man, it'll be ruined. Man will just be sinning for all eternity. He said, absolutely not. He took the tree of life out and took it to heaven. No, you can't have this. I ain't going to have y'all sinning forever. This got to stop. That's why he took the tree of life. They got the tree of knowledge. He said, no, you ain't having the tree of life. Can't have you sinning for all eternity. But people want, you can't have it. So again, as I said, you can't, this ain't McDonald's or Big Mac or whatever they call that stuff. You can't have it your way. Okay? You got to be saved. You got to receive him. And ain't no halfway, ain't no putting your foot halfway. I'm coming over. I want to taste and try it out. You can't try out no salvation. I don't know where people are getting this stuff at. You can't test no salvation. Either you're going to come all the way full 360-degree, full circle. You're going to do it all the way, you're not. That's just what it is. Okay? I'm almost done. Verse 17 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. If you're still here with me, you have an ear. Right? It said, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Man, don't you want to taste that? Oh, taste and see. And I will, it said, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. Only you gonna know the name that Christ will give. Man, I'm gonna tell you, it's a blessing, you know, to just be a part of this. It's a blessing. I can't even begin to imagine, like Paul said, what's going to happen, what we're going to receive. So many scriptures that I want to share with you today. I still believe that the message was gotten through. You definitely understand what's going on in the Church of Pergamos. Next week, we'll be back with the Church of Thyatira. We'll be talking about that church. Then we're almost done. We got four more churches to go. We're still going to go. One, two, yeah. We covered three churches, then we got four more churches to go. We're getting there. Let's put it like that. I know there's a little bit to deal with the seven churches, but I want you to understand what's going on in the world. I want you to know. It gets exciting when we get to it's exciting now, but we're going to move out of the past into the future, and then John is going to begin to see what, because he goes to heaven, okay? Christ gives him, he tells him to write about the seven churches, about what's going to happen, and to warn the seven churches, which we're doing now. We're warning you. If you don't know, now you know. Get it right, okay? Then we get to the what? The throne room of heaven. We move to heaven in chapter 4. And then from there, we go on to the things that's going to happen in the future, okay? So hang in there with me. I know it's a lot. I know it's going to probably take long for what most people want to hear, some of the, I guess, the more, I guess more exciting. It's all exciting to me, but I guess the more scriptures, I guess more pertains to our time, the future time. I know a lot of people want to hear about that, but I got to give you this first because it'll make more sense to you. Because if I start teaching on, again, if I start giving you the steak, when I give you the milk, you won't be able to handle it. You'd be like, what in the world is he going? How did he get to that conclusion? I want you to know what's going on in the churches now. And remember, the church ain't the building that you go to, that you used to go to. Some people are still going to church. The church is you. You be the church. I am the church. See, I'm the church. Okay, you the church. Study your word. Study to show yourself through. Pray without ceasing. Fast without ceasing. Hey man, we should be fasting throughout the week. Some people fast every day. Some people, you know, study every day. You know, these are some of the things that we should just be doing as believers. And so, with that being said, I know the hour is drawing near. I'm so grateful for you all. I love each and every one of you. So again, hopefully something was said to bless you. I do have some more scriptures that I want to share with you. I hate to just kind of shut it down so quickly. I guess I have a little bit of time, but I guess some things that I want to share with you. Maybe not much, but we'll kind of. There was one scripture that I want to share with you. I think it's over in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Let's take a look. 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And if it's not the scripture that I want to share with you, we'll just go ahead and get ready to call it a night. I know most people are enjoying themselves with family. So, man, there was so much I want to share with you tonight. But all glory be to the Most High. Let's read 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 6. It says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And I'm just going to jump down. I'm not going to read all of it for the sake of time. But I want to read, it says, verse 9. It says, verse 9 says, I wrote unto you in an epistle. An epistle is a letter. Not to company with fornicators. What he's saying is not to company with people that's out here just cutting up. And it could be mean fornicators, like, you know, people got fun. But he's talking about other spirits. Don't get out here just fooling with folks out here cutting up. We see them in church because that's really who he's talking to. Okay. Also, the people outside of church. He says in verse 10, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, covetous or extortioners or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world. Okay? We shouldn't deal with certain people. And that's what I was saying to you before. And I said, hey, I got to get out of this church. People don't think those things can affect you, but when people are saying certain things, don't indulge in that. Just don't. You know, I hear people say certain things. I'm like, thinking to myself, you know who I am, right? I mean, you know, I'm not the pastor of the church, but I'm a pastor on the roster. I'm not going to just indulge in certain things. You know, I have to leave. You know, you have to. So, I mean, there have been times when people would just say stuff. I just walk off. Seriously, in the middle of the conversation, I just walk off. I'm not dealing with that. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about somebody else. You're not gonna get me into that. Because sometimes we have to guard and protect our spirits. The Bible says that we are a temple. Our bodies are a temple. But you got to guard your spirit, what you hear, what you see, and what you do. Don't let the people – I'm not no trash can. You're not going to dump things into me or onto me. Don't let people pour into you these evil things of the world. And that's the point I'm making. So, of course, there were some more scriptures I want to share, but I know that I'm not going to get into that. But I just want to share that with you. We have to guard our spirits, and that's what I was doing when I left the church. I was guarding myself. I have to protect me. I'm concerned about me because if I start indulging myself in certain things, that'll weaken me. You know, we have to have spiritual integrity. I'm preaching the word and teaching the word and saving souls. I don't want to get caught up. I try to do the best that I can to keep myself. That's what we're supposed to do. I'm not doing something I'm not supposed to do. I'm doing something I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to protect Tim. I told you before, I am my biggest fan. I love me some Tim. And I believe in just protecting myself. And I think you should do the same thing. When people try to come with certain things and say, just be nice about it. At that point in time, that was a long time ago when I walked away from a conversation. I was just so tired of hearing stuff. I said, you know what? I'm just going to do this myself quietly. I'm going to walk off from this person. And I just did it. But, you know, we try to be nice to people. But, you know, we're praying for each and every one of you. We're praying for everyone out there. Make sure that you guys are staying safe. Enjoy your holiday. I love each and every one of you with the spiritual agape love. Just remember, you was blessed by this spiritual message today. Continue to tune in. We're working on some things for the future. But finally, I'd just like to say that I thank you for listening. And remember that you are blessed by the best, the Most High, Heavenly Father, Yahweh, and His Son, Yeshua. We thank Him for His sacrifice and saving our souls and redeeming us back from sin and giving us salvation and eternal life in this new body that we're going to receive. And we're going to come back. Remember, family, don't forget, we're going to come back and reign with Him 1,000 years. Remember, family, you are royalty. I am royalty. And family, until next time, be blessed. Bless the kingdom and have a good night, family. I love each and every one of you. Take care.